The Lollipop Guild only listens to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Creating opportunities, fighting poverty, changing lives. For almost 50 years, Community Action of Greene County has proudly served our community, providing education, tools, and advocacy for those in need. Services range from emergency services, food pantry, housing and homelessness assistance, and weatherization in Greene County, to domestic violence and Wheels for Work programs in both Greene and Columbia counties. Our Pay It Forward community thrift store generates income to support our programs. For more information, to donate, to volunteer, or if you are in need of services, please visit us at www.cagcny.org or dial 943-9205.
Hi, I'm Jack Sensabar from Catskill, inviting you to listen to my show, Backtracks in Time, dedicated to the history of Greene County, its notable people and places, and the Hudson River. The fourth Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3 p.m., broadcasting live from WGXC's satellite studio at the Catskill Library. You'll hear interviews with local historians, longtime residents with stories to tell, and archival recorded material. So please join me for Backtracks in Time every fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, your community radio station.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
I'll have some clam chowder followed by beefsteak on rye, pumpkin pie, whipped cream and coffee. I want a green salad on the side. Don't forget the french fried pizza pie.
Good afternoon. This is Eating It in the Hudson Valley, and I'm your host, Phyllis Segura. Welcome to those listening live and later. I'm trying to do two things at once. It never works out for me. Later to the archive show that you can find on the WGXC.org website. I'd like to let listeners know about some events I'm doing. Tonight there is a closing calligraphy performance of a piece of mine called Who Are You? The doors open at 6 and the performance is at 7. No one is let in once the performance begins. This takes place in Woodstock at the Mothership at 6 Hillcrest Avenue, and it's free. As part of it is an exhibition of large calligraphic drawings for sale. And then this Sunday, November 18th, I'll be doing a cooking demonstration of classic appetizers, bagna cauda, pisala d'air, blini with caviar, and fried mozzarella and prosciutto in Kingston at the Blue Cashew Kitchen. You can find the information about it at kitchen@bluecashew.com. So, that taken care of. Welcome to today's guests, Chef Joe Landa of the French Bistro in Athens called Rive Gauche and Natasha of the Juice Branch in Catskill. Thank you both for coming to talk with us today. Chef Joe, I saw that you come from Newfoundland, but as we were talking at the beginning of the show, you said you left there when you were 3 years old, and I'd like to hear a little bit about that. You opened your restaurant in 2014, bought a building that you mostly renovated by yourself and that your partner, Brooke Linsky, decorated. Is that right?
Okay. That's right, Phyllis.
He's nodding. No, he's talking now. You also won some CHOP championships, worked at the New York Jewish Seminary running an all-kosher kitchen, and you were also a personal trainer, which you might still be. And you've also worked in some New York restaurants. Okay, tell us about how you got interested in being a chef. Probably a question you're always asked, you know.
But. Yeah, well, I've always been interested in cooking since I was a boy. My mother bought me a cookbook, Cooking for Boys and Girls, when I was 8 years old. And my older brothers would make fun about it, but, you know, boys came first in the title, so I just had a liking towards it, and as I grew up, I actually went to UMass to study chemical engineering, and getting into restaurants was just accidental. I have a passion and a talent for it, and I started off, you know, peeling potatoes in a really nice restaurant in the basement for a few years, and I worked my way up.
Where was that, in Massachusetts?
That was in Massachusetts, in Springfield, Massachusetts. The Student Prince. And
That's the name of the restaurant?
That's the name of the restaurant. Had been there since 1935. So all of the cooks that worked there were these old crusty guys who wouldn't help you do anything. They would just kind of abuse you back in that day, back in the 80s. They get away with that stuff. But I stuck it out. And so no classical training. It's all self-taught. And I guess I learned the hard way. But from what I've found in my experience, people who start off that way have a more well-rounded experience and know a little bit more about a little bit of everything, really.
Did you go to France at all? I mean, what?
Well, I grew up in, well, I was born in Newfoundland on a, my father was in the military, so we were stationed up north. And after Newfoundland, we moved to Europe, where I lived in France, I lived in Germany. And, you know, we'd go back and forth 2 years here, 2 years there, maybe 2 years back in the States, then back over there. So I was around a lot of different cultures and a lot of different foods. My parents definitely took advantage of living in Europe and going out every weekend with us to sightsee and try the foods and visit the castles. It was a fun childhood.
Well, what is it about French food above all others that especially appeals to you?
I just think the French technique is a cornerstone for most cooking. I find that well, and also like you said, I am a certified personal trainer. So I kind of adapt the butters and the heavy creams. I kind of lighten that up a little bit.
How?
But I still if you want to sell something, you put some butter in it, and people will fall for that.
Yeah.
It's like our potatoes gratin. That's, you know, heavy cream and Roquefort cheese and salt and potatoes. And that's pretty much all it is. And slow cooks for 3 hours.
Right. And, oh, 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. I put it on around 300 degrees and just let it go. And it just turns into almost like a pudding. It's just wonderful.
And this is the season for it.
It really is. This is my favorite season to cook because there's so many things you can do. Summertime, you're kind of limited to a very light fare. And, you know, people want the salads and, you know, some grilled chicken. But now we can really flex our culinary muscles with almost everything.
Tell me about your cassoulet. I noticed that you do it with duck, but you do it with duck breast. Do you put in any other meats?
Well, the only other meats that are in the cassoulet would be a bacon lardons, large chunks, you know, about almost 1-inch chunks.
Do you speak French?
Enough, not really, but I can read French. I can't really speak it so well, but I can read the French recipes.
Right. There's a couple of books I brought in over there, that Lulu Provence. Want to pull them over?
Yeah, sure.
Lift them there.
Oh, Alice Waters, of course.
No, Waters just does the intro.
Oh,
this
I see.
Lulu's Provençal Table, which is out of print, but was somebody that Richard Olney, who influenced Waters, found. And I just didn't know if you were familiar with any of these.
And of course,
Balthazar
is pretty much one of the... There's a few restaurants that I... there was a reflection of what Rive Gauche became is from influences from Balthazar and a couple other restaurants in New York City. I was a chef of a French restaurant called La Boheme, which was down in the West Village. I was there for a few years, but the look of Balthazar, the look of like Odeon, is what we tried to capture.
Were you around when Patrick Clark was the chef there?
I don't believe so. No. If I was, probably too busy working at some other restaurant.
Yeah, he's pretty much put it on the map.
Right.
With his menu.
You know, and that's when we were hanging out.
He died too young.
We would go to Florent in the meatpacking district.
Yeah, I love
that's
that
where
place.
That's where all the chefs would meet afterwards at
Florent
2 o'clock in the morning and
have
mussels and French fries with mayonnaise. Yeah,
I've been there a lot.
Of course, that was sad when they closed down.
It sure was.
They kind of finally got eaten up by the high rents and everything else that's going on in the city these days.
Yeah, wow. And do you follow I saw that on your menu that you had side dishes with vegetables, but do you follow the French style of an entree alone without the sides on the plate, and then people order the sides separately?
No, I pretty much direct them with the, most of my plates would have the potatoes gratin on it, except for...
I love how he's pronouncing gratin. Mm.
I change my pronunciation of it depending who I'm
gratin.
Speaking with.
We don't... Some people might know what you're talking about.
Potatoes au gratin. And but
and of
no,
course I would say gratin, but he says, you know, it's like tomato, tomato.
Exactly.
We could do that song like Hermione Ginkel. You say gratin and I say, no, you say gratin and I say gratin.
But a lot of people think that, you know, the plates are so full, they're big because they have the potato, they have the entree, whether it's the beef bourguignon short ribs or, you know, we have... a French cut chicken breast that we do with lemon and thyme. And I usually, you know, garnish that with some sautéed spinach on that plate also. Right. So it's a full dinner in that one plate.
One of my favorite French chicken dishes is the chicken with vinegar from Lyon. Do you know this one?
I do know that, yes.
That is just one. I've seen so many versions of it. Mm-hmm. But it started with, who's the woman, the famous woman chef in Lyon? I can't remember her name.
I don't know.
That's terrible.
But I do mine with a red raspberry vinegar.
Oh, okay.
Which is
a little sweeter.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
You have that in the winter?
Yeah, we do specials from besides the regular menu. We're always doing different specials. Coq au vin, bouillabaisse. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is a big popular one.
Where do you get your ingredients? In Athens, I don't know if the listeners have been there, there's a couple of really interesting food places. There's Bonfiglio Bread. Bonfiglio. Talk about pronunciation. I better get that right. And the Crossroads Brewing Company. So there's bread and beer. But Bonfiglio has other foods as well, pastries.
They do. Yeah. They have sandwiches and little pizzas, which are fabulous.
Yeah. It's a good place to put something onto your thighs very, very quickly. Yes, you go to Athens.
Athens is becoming a culinary destination. There's a new restaurant at the Stewart House Hotel. It's a 18th century hotel, 19th century hotel, but they just have new ownership there, and they brought in a fabulous chef from the area.
Uh-huh.
And the more the merrier in Athens. So we're really becoming a destination for good food.
But since there's no grocery products, I mean, do you get farmers to deliver? Where do you get your supplies?
I'm on the road all the time going around picking up food. Yes,
yeah.
I'm the guy that gets it
so
for
they don't
the most
bring it
part.
To you. You have to go
well,
get
Well, I mean,
it?
Some of the staples I'll have delivered, like, you know, flour and sugar or things like that. I don't have to handpick that stuff.
Right.
But, I travel around and see what's...
What are some of your faves?
Well, we go to different local farms. A few of my waiters who I've had in the past are both opened up farms in the area. Right, there's the Bee Golden Farm and the Climax Cooperative. Climax, the town, that is, you know, cooperative. And they sell at the farmer's market in Coxsackie on Wednesdays during season. So that makes it quite easy just to go up there and pick out things.
Yeah, for a Climax, you've got to be pretty cooperative.
Very funny.
Well, people say I'm funny sometimes, but... We're all blushing. We're sitting here in the studio blushing. We've got four blushing people. We've got a blush on our cheeks. What's at the top of the menu for November and December?
Well, we've been doing the coq au vin. That's a big winter, fall, hearty dish. And the cassoulet. We're going to do the cassoulet in different ways. We'll be doing a roast leg of lamb, which is a wonderful dish this time of year.
Do you ever do lamb shanks?
We do. In fact,
that's my fave.
Yeah, lamb shanks. I've been doing a pork shank, ossobuco style, which is, you know, a 22-ounce pork shank that's just been slow braised in red wine with tomatoes and aromatic vegetables and fresh herbs. And just till you cook it, till it's just falling off the bone.
Exactly.
You know, which is timing is hard on that, because if you do it too much, then it does fall off the bone.
Yes.
And it's like a horrible presentation. Then you have to make, then you call it ragu. You know, you do something different with it.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of times all you have to do is you change the title of the entree, and it makes more sense that way.
Well, you don't have a menu with scratch-outs.
No.
How about a blackboard? Do you have a blackboard?
We don't have a blackboard, no. The servers
just... What kind of French restaurant without a blackboard?
Come on, the servers just recite their daily specials to our guests.
Uh-huh.
And that works out pretty well.
Oh, I've got a poor memory. I always make the poor waiters repeat.
I know. I would see, what was that first one again?
Right, exactly. Everybody says that. how many can you seat?
Well, right now we can seat 74 mm-hmm. Comfortably. Then there's 12 more at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So we were up to about 86. And on busy nights, there's some standing room only sometimes.
Really?
It's pretty
nice.
Exciting, yes.
Didn't you have a big Halloween party?
We have a lot of different events throughout the uh-huh. course of the year. I mean, our biggest party is the New Year's Eve celebration.
Oh.
We brought in a really popular band from the city last year called the Skivvies. And mm-hmm. It's a group that performs in their underwear. But they're actually, she's a Broadway performer. She's on a show right now, and they're really well known. But yeah, we packed that place. It was,
we have to give them a little applause.
Quite a party. Yes. Here's to the Skivvies. We love you.
My sound machine. Sounds more like rain on the roof. It's really something. What else I want to ask you? Oh, can we talk a little? Well, I'm going to talk to Natasha next, and then we're going to talk a little bit Thanksgiving food.
Maybe. Oh, absolutely. Good.
We'll give the people some ideas.
We have some great ideas.
Everybody always wants something new. I always like to talk about cranberry sauce, so get ready for that. Because I end up going to parties, and then I pull out their canned cranberry sauce. So from now on, that's the dish that I always bring. We're going to take a little break for music. I've pulled out some versions of what is that? No, we don't want that. I've pulled out some versions of Autumn Leaves. So we've got three versions of Autumn Leaves today. And since we're talking to a French restaurant chef, we're going to have Edith Piaf singing Autumn Leaves.
The falling leaves by the window, the autumn leaves, red and gold. I see your lips, the summer kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long. Soon I'll hear old winter song, but I miss you most of all, my darling, when autumn leaves start. Des amants, des... when away the days grow long, and soon I'll hear old winter song. But I miss you most of all, my darling, when
we're back. Are we back? Mm-hmm. We are back. We're going to talk to Natasha a little bit from the Juice Branch in Catskill. And Natasha, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Phyllis.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for being here. Now, Natasha is a Catskill native. When did you open the juice store in Catskill?
Officially, it was 17 weeks ago this past Saturday. So we're fairly new.
All right. 17 weeks ago was when?
Almost 4 months ago.
June.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a good guess. Okay. Now, you and your partner, George Salter, were in a romantic relationship for 10 years and had 2 children, and you stayed friends.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations. That's really big.
It's hard to do sometimes.
And now you're business partners. That's a great story just by itself, but there's more. And you said it was George who got turned on to juicing to regain his health and some good weight. And he got creative with the combinations of juices, and his friends started to join him and ask for his juices, and they liked them so much they were willing to pay George to make them.
Very true.
Wow. And when it grew to 20 juices each day, it started to sound like a business. Good, healthy, and fast food.
Exactly.
That's what you said. You say you've been in the restaurant business since the age of 14. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. I started working at the Loke Cider Cafe. It was originally owned. It was in Leeds, New York.
What's it called?
It was the Loke Cider Cafe.
Loke Cider?
Cafe.
It's
Loke Cider. It's all one word. Logsider. It's right in Leeds on the right-hand side, just past the thruway entrance.
Okay.
It's a little log cabin building. It's not open right now. It's currently available for sale.
Log cider. Okay.
But I worked there from the age of 14 till probably the age of 17. I started bussing tables.
Oh.
Making extra money.
Front of the house.
Yes, front of the house.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And then from there, I worked at Angela's, and I did the front, Angela's on Route 32, which is a brewery now.
Uh-huh.
I worked in the front of the house and the back of the house there. I was able to serve, bartend, and then I did tons of different food mm-hmm. things in the back. I was like the head of the line there.
Mm-hmm. And you also said you went to school for marketing.
Mm-hmm. I did. Very good, actually. I mean, it's working beneficial to our business now.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot of different things and different ways to promote things. And
but what were you interested in that you wanted to study marketing?
I wanted to just open my own business.
Uh-huh.
That was always my main goal, and I worked hard and I saved. And
did you know what it was going to be?
I didn't know. I was originally interested in opening a flower shop, honestly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then, however, like I have been in the restaurant business for so long, and I figured once this came up, we were like, okay, let's do this.
Right.
Let's try it out and see.
Where did you study marketing?
And just in SUNY Copplesville.
Uh-huh. Is it a 2, 3, 4 year
course? 4 year school.
Really? Mm-hmm. That long? What was something that you learned about marketing that stood out?
I pretty much was just, it's not market, I guess. I mean, it was just business management,
sure.
Pretty much that kind of thing.
Sure.
Just about how to run a business, what you need to do in order to run a business as far as paperwork of things. Sorry.
It's okay. Paperwork and things, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it, really. I mean, it was just different things as far as what you need to do to promote businesses and that kind of thing.
Is there one thing in particular? Like, what did you do to promote the juice store?
to promote the juice store? A lot of it is just social media. Social media right now is insane, especially with teenagers and things like that.
Was that around for part of this course?
It was not as big then. Right? It wasn't. And it's crazy how it's taken over now.
Sure.
Because originally, before, it was pretty much advertising, you know, radio stations and in the newspaper. And
right, so they have to, billboards. Teach marketing in a whole new way now. I wonder if they are.
Yes, because that was almost 15 years ago, so... A long time ago.
Right, yeah, it happened. It changes fast. When you found the storefront at 65 West Bridge Street, it needed lots of work, but you found the rent was affordable. So you and George worked there day and night for 6 months.
Correct, yes. Yeah. We worked there. He worked a full-time job. I was still working full-time at that time. But whenever we had free time, I would be there at night, at midnight, doing stuff, painting, redoing different things. Early in the mornings, he would get out of work. He works the overnights. 7 o'clock in the morning, he would be there doing things. And we kind of, whenever we could meet together and do things, we did things.
Right. That's something that you and Jolanda have in common. You both found spaces and you converted them pretty much yourselves.
Absolutely. Well, you're starting a new restaurant or a food business, it's the money is tight always. So you have to learn how to do most of the work yourself.
Right.
And it's with YouTube videos, you can pretty much do almost anything at this
point. YouTube videos.
YouTube is amazing. You can learn how to do anything on YouTube.
You start off in a corner where people can't see, and then you learn how to sheetrock. And then as you work your way out, and then you're a master sheetrocker. You know,
Yeah, what was the old saying? If you want to write a, if you want to build a bridge, first you have to, if you want to write a book about building bridges, first you have to build a bridge.
Okay.
I think that was from the Red Revolution in China. Now, Natasha, your menu is a very long read. I mean, I went in there, and then besides the menu being a long read, there's a you do have a blackboard, and there are so many things on there. I could have stood there for, like, I don't know, half a week. Reading all the things. There's over 100 combinations of fruits. And you brought some for us to taste.
Yeah,
you
let me pass
those
juice.
Over? Let's
I did. I do have to tell you, Phyllis, though, I did redo the blackboard last week. Completely redone. It's trying to make it a little more organized because it is a little overwhelming. I felt it was for people when they were coming in. But since we've opened, we've added so many new different drink options since just people in the community are like, oh, let's try this and this and this together. And they get creative with it, and we like it, and we think it's great. So then we let them name it, and it gets added to the blackboard.
Fantastic.
So now we redid it.
Your own combos.
Yes.
What did you bring for us to taste today?
I brought us several different ones. I brought something called the Iron Mike.
And what's that?
It has kale and spinach, raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries in it.
Kale, spinach, raspberries, blueberries.
And blackberries.
And blackberries. So berries and greens.
Yes.
Iron Mike, because it's spinach and has a lot of iron.
Yeah, we call it the keto-friendly drink because people on the keto diet, they're allowed to have berries and greens, and it's perfect to follow the diet.
That's it. Okay.
And then I also have something called the carrot crusher. Now, this is just organic, local pressed carrots and with a little bit of nutmeg and cinnamon in it.
You can see she's a very generous person. These little plastic tasting things are very full. I have to be really careful opening them up. Okay, who wants to have first taste?
I'm really interested in this
Joe's
one.
Going for
I
it.
Will try this one.
We're going to make an Iron Mike French dish.
Mm.
What do you
think? That's fantastic. It's got the sweetness.
Is there another
and
one
tart.
In there of the same thing?
Yes, there is.
Well, I think I'll try it too. Neva, are you in? Neva's in. We're going for Iron Mike here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're gonna build our. We won't be anemic today.
I always tell people, don't be scared of the kale.
I was going to say, you sneak the kale in there somehow. It's incredible.
Well, it's very drinkable. It tastes great. There's no yuck factor.
Not at all.
No yuck factor.
Yeah, thank you.
That was a good thing.
Wasn't it?
It's spinach, kale, raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries.
Can't be bad.
I'm going to go lift a building.
What building?
Any building. I'm going to just go now. I can go lift a building.
Oh, you can lift a building. Or a car. Oh, good.
Fantastic. That's why it's called the Iron Mike.
And where do you purchase your ingredients?
We go all over the place. We're closed on Wednesdays generally in the afternoon. I close at 10 a.m. We're only open for the morning. And we travel to local farms all over the place. We go out to Stories Farms. They've been super fantastic.
Yes, I like that place.
Me as well. And we've actually done a little bit of the barter system with them as well, which works really great in our favor.
What do you give them?
We give them juices, and they love our ginger shots that we do as well.
Tell us about that.
Ginger shots are just fresh pureed ginger, and it's mixed with a little bit of honey and lemon.
Uh-huh.
And they're served in these little tiny 2-ounce souffle cups.
Right.
And then people take them every day. It's really good for inflammation.
But do you put turmeric in it?
Some of them have turmeric in them,
turmeric,
yes.
Turmeric is what you need for the inflame.
Yep. Ginger is really natural anti-inflammatory too, but we do add the turmeric to them. We do have turmeric as an option to add to the drinks as well.
Sure. Do you use the fresh turmeric or the powdered?
The fresh turmeric.
Really? You grate it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, lovely. The rhizome. We could put turmeric in French dishes, though.
We do.
You do? What do you put it in?
It depends. I use it for coloring. If you just use a small amount.
Of course.
You know, if a dish, if it's like a lemon dish, and I always like to add color to emphasize the lemon, say. So you just sneak a little bit of turmeric into it, and it brightens up that yellowness.
Uh-huh.
And it just gets, you first make a judgment with what you see on your plate.
Right.
And then you taste it. So I like just to make that first visual important.
Mm-hmm. I know you can't add too much turmeric because it does have a little bit of that, you know, thing like alum has.
Oh, right, but just a little bit.
A little bit is nice.
We'll make it color.
But the color is saffron, but saffron has a really strong flavor too. Do you do anything other than smoothies?
Yes, I do make soups as well. Every day we make fresh organic and vegan gluten-free soup as well.
Uh-huh. Like what? Vegetable soup?
No, not just... I mean, we've done a cream of cauliflower, and it's vegan-based because I do use coconut milk for that.
I
top it with a little bit of pomegranate seeds and a little bit of fresh thyme.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a butternut squash bisque. I've done a quinoa with cubed butternut squash and spinach soup last week. Just yesterday, I had a creamy potato soup with spinach and carrot as well.
Right.
So we try to make it different every day and fun, and
even
though it's vegan and healthy. And
but once you get into it, it comes naturally. So are you and George are still getting along?
Oh, we're getting along great. I know, it's quite shocking.
Good.
But yeah, no, we get along very well. I mean,
yeah.
We both are still working, so I mean, we split up the hours a lot.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I've cut down my hours now, but I'm kind of part-time where I'm working, and he's still full-time for the state, so.
Oh, that's a lot, yeah. And you've got 2 children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about them? You don't have to.
Yes, we have a boy and a girl. Our son is 16. He's fun.
Oh, get him in the store.
He was there over the summertime helping us with a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Our daughter, Aliciana, though, she was really great. She's just turned 11. And she's fantastic. She's always at the front, bringing people out, helping us take orders. Because it was crazy when we first opened, just getting the flow of things and getting things down. And
sure.
She made a lot of money in tips that summer.
Nice. That's an incentive.
Yes, definitely.
And then there's a lot of community things that you are involved with, too. I don't know when you get to sleep. You do nutrition classes after hours for youth.
Yes.
And what's been the reception to that?
We've done 2 classes so far. A couple things have been posted on our Instagram page about it. There was about 15 different students that came each time, kids.
Mm-hmm.
And George is the one that runs those. He stays and he talks about health and different things to do to stay healthy and different options like that, and what the purpose of each vegetable is, and giving them ideas and how to mix things up and keep it fun and exciting.
Great. Does he do like cooking demonstrations too?
He doesn't do cooking demonstrations.
No.
Nope.
No. Okay. And you're both been doing food drives. You did a sneaker giveaway. What's a sneaker giveaway?
We did a candy corn contest for the students at the Catskill Central School District, and we had the candy corns in one of our big blenders, and they had to count or guess how many candy corns were in there.
Oh, but you didn't put those in the smoothies.
No. Definitely not. We actually emptied that blender out into the garbage after the contest.
So they had to guess how much...
how many candy corns were in the blender itself. And whoever was the closest, I did the drawing on Halloween night at 6 p.m. Whoever was the closest, they had to show me a passing progress report. And as long as they had a passing progress report in every class, then they were able to win a pair of Jordan 6s and they're orange and white. So it was kind of like festive for Halloween.
Cool.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So we've done that. Right now we're doing a food drive with Matthew Food Pantry, Matthew 25.
What's that?
Matthew 25 is a local food pantry. Everything stays in Greene County. And she's really awesome. I've known Patty for years. She's the one that runs it. And people can go there. They can get food baskets every week. And while they're getting their baskets, they can pick out clothes and toys and books and whatever else they could use possibly.
And so what are you doing with them?
I'm collecting non-perishable donations. And if you drop off a non-perishable item, we give you a free ginger shot. As an incentive to come and do it. And we already have two boxes completely filled with food.
Wow. And then there was another one you said that you partnered with the Catskill School District, and you offered free smoothies for students who've read 5 books?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I work with one teacher in the high school, and we made up little tiny punch cards for her to give out to her students. We're really popular with the high school and middle school, being right next door to it. And they love to come.
Oh, it's next.
It's right across from the school. So they're super excited. They come there every morning. And after school, they sit and do their homework and hang out. It's like their meeting spot, which is really exciting. But I know everybody can't afford to buy a juice every day, especially being a teenager.
Yes.
So now if they read 5 books, they can come in and get a free drink. Their teacher punches out each time.
And how do they know whether they actually read them?
They have to do a mini report
to tell about the book.
Yes.
That's great. Then you can put the reports in the store, too. People could read the reports or something.
Yeah, that would
be fun. Before I forget, I want to get the contact information for both of you. Tell us how people can find you, website, location on the street. Go.
Absolutely. We're located at 65 West Bridge Street in Catskill, right on the left-hand side across from the River Basin or Dumont Street. That's like my best way to look for the orange flag.
And online?
And online, we don't have a website, but you can follow us on our Instagram page. It's at The Juice Branch, and it's all local letters. And we also have a Facebook page, The Juice Branch, as well.
Okay.
And we are also going to be bottling and selling our juices on the new Welcome Center at the New York State Thruway.
Okay. And Joe, how do people find you?
Well, we're right in the heart of downtown Athens. We're at 7 Second Street. We're right next to our Sally Hamilton Wine and Spirit, which is a wine and spirit shop that we opened up this year. And you can also contact us through ReeveGaucheBistro.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram, all of the usual suspects.
Who's Sally Hamilton that you named the wine store after?
First time when we came to Athens about 5 or 6 years ago, we drove across a creek, and it was called Murderer's Creek. And I was like, why is this called Murderer's Creek? It was fascinating. So Brooke was driving. I'm on my phone on Google finding the story of Sally Hamilton. So Sally Hamilton in 1803 was a 20-year-old. Her father was a well-to-do attorney in Athens, and she was leaving her father's house in August at dusk to come to her sister's house in the village, which is only about a half mile away, and she never made it. So father assumed she went to sister's, sister assumed she stayed at father's, and next morning, where's Sally Hamilton? And the whole town went out looking for her, and 3 days later, they found her in what was called Mulder's Creek at the time, and the name has been changed over the years to become Murderer's Creek.
She was murdered.
She was bludgeoned. She had a head wound. She was found in the creek. Back then, there were two arrests made. There was two Union soldiers that were tried for it, but they were found not guilty. A third man confessed to it, but he was found to be insane. So it's still an unsolved murder to this day, over 200 years later. So, and it's just local lore of the area, because so many people pass Murderer's Creek and still have no idea why it's called Murderer's Creek or who Sally Hamilton is.
Well, they do now.
They do now.
We've informed them.
In fact, we visit her headstones up in the little Athens cemetery, and we visit her, and A lot of times we have fresh cut flowers for our tables in the restaurant. When we change the flowers, we'll collect the older ones. We'll bring them up to Sally and just put them out. And I think usually the deer will go ahead and eat those right up in the wintertime. But yeah, she's a, you know, we're very intrigued
local,
with her.
Local lore.
Yep, absolutely. I wanted to call the restaurant Sally Hamilton, but people were saying, you can't name your restaurant after a dead woman.
After a murdered woman. No.
So we had the opportunity with the wine shop.
The wine shop. Well, okay. And that's nice. I see your menu has a very long wine list.
It does. Yeah, we... it's quite extensive. It's a lot of work to maintain and keep up, but it's always changing and evolving too at the same time.
Do you have a cellar, a good cellar?
We do. It's actually it's a walk-in refrigerator that we keep at 60 degrees, which is just like a perfect temperature to store you know, your reds. And
so there wasn't anything below the building that
this is just as good. We do have a cellar in the building, but I wouldn't want to store fine bottles of wine in that cellar for sure.
And recently your building got struck by lightning. I remember that you were supposed to be on the show before.
It was terrifying. The whole village of Athens, well, just the main street for like two blocks, there was a electrical storm right overhead. And it just hit every building and wiped out everybody's modem, routers, telephones, computers. We lost a computer in the wine shop. We lost printers in the restaurants, had to be replaced. It was just a nightmare. Next day, people were outside. The cable company was out just handing modems out to people like, you know, Halloween candy. It was just like... It was really nice. I got to say, Mid-Hudson Cable did a great job in taking care of their end of the deal. We were cowered in the center of the dining room. We were having light bulbs exploding in the dining room. Light bulbs were exploding. It was quite terrifying.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you live in Athens also?
Well, funny, because we were just weekenders.
Brooke is your partner.
Yep. Brooke is my partner in this project. We live together on the Upper West Side in Manhattan, and we found Athens for a weekend house to get away. And that's when I discovered, you know, the building that there used to be a restaurant there. They just closed the doors one day. So I thought it would be an easier, you know, transition to a restaurant.
Right.
But we basically had to gut the whole thing. So, Brooke, she comes up. She's the hostess with the mostest on the weekend. She's quite a character. A lot of people come in just to say hi to her. And
see
exactly. Okay. What's she wearing? I mean, she works in 6-inch stilettos, bussing tables and doing all the hard stuff. But, she can... She can.
Natasha's nodding. Natasha's eaten at this restaurant several times. She said.
Brooke is fantastic. Yes. She's great. Always very sweet.
We've got to get these two couples together somehow.
Exactly.
A little party in the restaurant. That's great. I'm going to take another break. We're going to play one more version of Autumn Leaves, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some Thanksgiving recipes and some combos with something French and some juice and whatnot. And what we have now. Click on the computer. What we have now is Eric Clapton singing Autumn Leaves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, let's go for it.
The fallen leaves drift by my window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. Kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold since you went away. The days grow long, and soon I'll hear. So
start to fall.
Lovely.
Lovely, yeah. Very nice.
Fantastic.
This is Eating It in the Hudson. What is this program called? Eating It in the Hudson Valley. With me, I'm your host, Phyllis Segura. And I am talking to, and it's WGXC 90.7 FM. And I'm talking with Chef Joe Landa of the Rive Gauche restaurant in Athens and Natasha Law of the Juice Branch in Catskill. And now we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving that's coming up. And maybe we've got some ideas and suggestions, and go for it, guys. What have we got? I'm going to talk about cranberries, but that's a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about... I have one thing about with Thanksgiving and turkey. So turkey, if I just can give anybody a tip on cooking their turkey, let your turkey rest when it comes out of the oven. Don't bring it to the table and carve right into it because you're going to lose all the juices. And I see this all the time, and it drives me crazy. When I cook my turkey, I'll even take it out and let it rest for an hour. Mm-hmm. And
you put some foil or something over it?
Well, the skin itself will protect it. Right. And just let it rest. And then at that time, you can drain the pan juices and make your gravy. Mm-hmm. And then I usually slice mine in the kitchen and not at the table.
Yeah.
And what I do at that point, I just will reheat it lightly in some of the pan juices and bring it back up. And it just it's much moister. That way too. Mm-hmm. So if you let your birds rest, you'll have a happier, juicier turkey experience.
I really appreciate this because this is my first year actually making turkey by myself. Normally my mom does the turkey and I do all of the sides, but this year I'm doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to make a turkey, so that's good to know.
Yeah, I do it in the morning. It doesn't even matter. So, you know, it's kind of the restaurant style of how you cook in a restaurant because mm-hmm. you can't just start cooking from scratch for 100 people at 8 o'clock. I mean, a lot of stuff is done ahead of time.
Exactly.
And I think with Thanksgiving, to do as much as you can ahead of time. And there's so many things you can do ahead of time, especially the cranberry sauce, the gravy. And the trick to not having lumpy gravy, mm-hmm. we make a roux, and roux is R-O-U-X, and that's a half butter, half flour. And
a brumenet, that's called.
You melt it down, and you make like almost a thick paste with it.
Right.
And to make it not lumpy, you add your stock slowly. And so you're going to take the thick paste, then it's going to be a thinner paste.
Well, don't you take the thick paste into the turkey drippings?
Well, you know, you bring the drippings into the paste.
Oh, into the paste.
Yeah, slowly. And that way
I always end up making it right in the pan.
You'll never get lumps that way.
No,
that
you
way
won't.
You'll...
But a lot of us do cheat with Wondra.
I don't know about that.
I know, but we do. I mean, you can if you have to.
Do yourself a break and make your sweet potatoes and your butternut squash. That can be all done ahead of time.
Sure.
Put it in a casserole covered with foil and just put it in a very slow oven. I mean, you know, a low temperature oven. We call it slow in the business.
Well, most people only have one oven.
Well,
right.
Yeah,
so
but
they
so...
They do that before and then they put the turkey
well,
in.
That's when... So when the turkey comes out an hour... early, then you turn your oven down, let your turkey rest for an hour.
Right.
You'll reheat the things that you made. I mean, a few things that really don't work well is the mashed potatoes. You want to do those almost right away.
That's true.
But all the other things, try to get as much done out of the way. A lot of stuff I do the day before even.
Sure.
And then it's just, you know, you already cleaned up. You know, it's much easier, and you can enjoy. You know, being the cook, it's you're always the one working, cleaning, and things like that. So if you get all that out of the way,
right.
You'll have an easier time and a more, you know, spend time with your friends and family.
Well, some people have taken to brining turkeys these days. How do you feel about that?
I can go either way. I just think basting every 15, 20 minutes is... Mm-hmm. I set a timer, and I just... Mm-hmm. Every 20 minutes, I baste.
Right.
Inside, outside, and...
Do you stuff the turkey?
I don't. I stuff it with garlic and herbs.
But no stuffing?
And no.
So
no.
Do you do stuffing separate?
I do it separate. I use the fat that's rendered from the turkey.
Uh-huh.
See, that's why the turkey should be cooked ahead of time, because there's all these other ingredients that come off your turkey roasting pan that you want to use. And you know, even like you can put your the mirepoix, the vegetables, in the roasting pan. I always roast the bird on top of the carrots and the celery and onions and garlic. And you know, that adds to the basting juices and the flavors.
Okay, Joe, I want to hear you say the French word for turkey.
Le poulet grande. No, I have no idea.
The dindon. You really don't know?
Dindon. I really don't know the word for turkey.
D-I-N-D-O-N. Dindon.
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 Oh, oui.
You got to get the on.
Oh.
Dindon.
Oh.
Dindon. I remember walking around in the French countryside on Thanksgiving, and I was in a retreat, and I was walking around, and the turkeys were all, you know, free walking, and I was talking to them and telling them, "You're so lucky you're not in America today." I was in the Dordogne, you know, the French part.
That's lovely.
The south. This was several years ago, in the end of the 90s. And so what are your favorites?
My favorites?
To make, to eat.
Yes, I do love to make a butternut squash.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it so that way it's like a puree, I guess you would call it.
Yes.
With a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg and such like that. That's one of my ultimate favorites. And then my family loves my baked macaroni and cheese, as unhealthy as that is.
Oh, you do that on Thanksgiving too?
Yes, right, we do.
My pet peeve is cranberries. Because the last time, or one of the times I went to a Thanksgiving dinner, it was a lot of people. It was very nice. Everybody brought something. And then there was the canned cranberries on the table.
Ooh.
And I was horrified. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about, and also with Natasha's juices, it's possible to make some very nice cranberry sauces with juice, you know, the red berries and things to put in it. But a basic one, like if you want to make a mold, which is very pretty, you can take like 1 to 1.5 cups of sugar or less. I usually use less. And then you can put in some port or red wine or water and flavor it with a couple of slices of ginger, rosemary maybe. Sometimes I like savory, but you don't have to put the herbs in. And then you put in about 5 cups of cranberries. And you boil it over medium-high heat until it's reduced. You stir it. It starts to thicken a little bit. It takes about 20 minutes, really, to get it down. And then you remove it and cool it. And you take out the rosemary and the ginger and pour in a little bit of Grand Marnier or some orange liqueur. You could have put orange peels into the orange zest into the when you're making it too. And then you take that out, you take out the ginger, and then you actually process it in a blender until it's smooth, and you pour it into a lightly greased 3 to 3.5 cup mold and cover and chill it at least 8 hours or up to 2 days. You can make this very far in advance, but you could take also and if a little bit of the liquid that you put in there and use some of the smoothie juices, really. You know, some berries. Then there's another way to do it with herbal tea. You boil the cranberries with herbal tea, about 3 cups of water, 1/3 cup of honey, and 2/3 cups of sugar. Then you take out the tea bags, put 1/2 cup of water in a small bowl, and add the gelatin, about a tablespoon, you know, 1 package of gelatin to thicken it, and add that to the cranberry mixture. And then add other berries, like blueberries and raspberries. And then you rinse a mold with ice cubes, then add the cranberry mixture, cover and refrigerate it until it sets. That'd take about 2 hours to overnight. So you can use gelatin or not.
That's right.
Yeah, it seems pretty simple, much better than buying a can.
It tastes a lot better. Basically, it's liquid, berries, and a sweetener. And then the flavorings of the orange and the ginger. Wine, I've had it with red wine. There's so many ways. And I had one friend who used to really like it. We've got 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Looks like 4 minutes to me, but who's counting? Neva's counting. And again, we're not going to get to the food report, but the food report, it's very special this time. It'll be online. And if you read the food report, write something to me. Tell me, because I put a lot of work into the food report, and I'm telling you all about what's happening with agriculture and who's talking tough and what's happening with the food stamp story and who has to work and who doesn't and the payments for the producers who are suffering from retaliatory tariffs and what's happening, what the Democrats are looking for to move into and change right now, and what the farmers are talking about, and the coalition of environmental groups. And I think we're out of here. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Natasha. And we're going to play a little Bill Evans playing Autumn Leaves just to take us out of here.